On this, our family, friends, new members and members Sunday, we want to talk from the title from Joshua 24, Family, We Need to Have a Meeting. Family, we need to have a meeting. One of your most prized possessions or your best support system you can have in life is your family. Families are very, very important. And that's basically what's wrong with society today, the destruction of the family. You know, the distortion, the separating and destroying of the family. But families, that family structure is so important, especially when you're at a young age where you can get the kind of love and the kind of training, the kind of protection that one would need. The dictionary defines family as a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head, a household, a group of persons of common ancestry or clan. And I laugh at those definitions because when you grow up where we grew up, a family was anybody that liked your mama cooking and stayed all up in your house. As a matter of fact, they came like your cousins and your brothers, and you grew up with these folk. And that's that whole family thing. And even God is a family God. When you begin to search the scriptures and find out what he told Adam and Eve, he said, look here, y'all, be fruitful and multiply. And then what he says about marriage in the word of God, and what he says about children and fathers not provoking the children, and what he says about children are a heritage of the Lord. And you, when you begin to look at the scripture, you see God as a family God. So in my mind, God would have the family to be blessed. Now, there was a thing called oral tradition before the printing press, before stuff was in print. And you had to pass down information from generation to generation. So when we're in Joshua 24, there's a passing down, there's a oral tradition, but we must remember that every time, like when Joshua and them, when they crossed the river, he said, put 12 stones as memorials. And you would see throughout the Old Testament, they would erect an altar as a memorial unto God. You remember Abraham when he had to take Isaac and there was a ram in the bush. He said, I'm going to erect an altar here, Jehovah Jireh, to God. God will provide. So there were things that God wanted the Israelites to remember about family, about being together. But sometimes families have to have a meeting. And what has happened in the family today is that we have a meeting at the wrong time. We call a family meeting in crisis. I suggest to us today we ought to call a meeting before crisis. All parents know their children, and you know when something's about to kick off. So I'd rather we have a pre-meeting than a post-meeting. And Joshua said, family, we need to have a meeting. And one of the main things that a family can do is to communicate with one another. Amen. You can have a whole lot of things, but if ain't nobody talking, if we're not communicating, ain't no love up in there. What the Proverbs say, I'd rather have a bowl of pea soup than to eat a filet mignon steak and ain't nobody talking in the house. See, we have to be able to communicate. Communication is so important. That's why we spend so much money on cell phones and iPhones, trying to communicate with one another. But what has happened with technology is kind of impersonal now. Stuff folk wouldn't say to you in your face, they don't mind saying it on a text message or something, but they was all up in your face. You say, look here, if you had said that to my face, I just got saved last Sunday. People don't write letters no more. You know, I mean, my mother used to write letters to her sisters, and another letter would come back and have this one and that one. And sometimes I would grab some of them and read them, and they were talking all about us, and hard head this one, and this one got on my last nerve, and I pray the Lord I don't kill them, and all that stuff in them letters. Sisters talking to sisters about their sons and daughters. This one got all frisky, you know what I'm saying? All fresh, you understand. My mother was down south, fresh. She wasn't fresh, fries. You get the two fries. But you used to have to pass without anything being written in a book. You had to tell the generations about what happened. And it's the responsibility of the elders to tell the generations how we got to where we are. And that's what I'm mighty afraid of, because nowadays folks think you're supposed to throw old folk away. And the closer I get to 60, I think y'all better be careful. Because I get an attitude. But I want you to be very, very careful, because tradition has its place. And you got to be able to listen to what those that have already experienced things, what they know and what they tell us. And sometimes, just like us, when we were young, we were hard-headed. And we thought this and thought that. We thought we knew it all. And they ain't know nothing. They so old-fashioned, they don't know nothing. And somebody said, you know what? There wouldn't be any cars if there wasn't the Model T Ford. You can't throw away the prototype. You can't get rid of it. You might improve it, but there's some basic stuff that you need to know. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how technologically advanced the world gets. There's some stuff that you need to know, and the elders got it. That's why we need to listen to our grandparents. They may not say it like you and I would say it. They may not twit or tweet. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They may not even be able to text. But you better listen up real good. And it sounds strange, the kind of stuff they say to you, because it's not in today's vernacular. But you know, sometimes we need to have the pre-meeting before the stuff gets too far out. And we need to communicate in the house. And nothing like, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. That's why doctors ask you, after they charge you all that money, what hurt you? After you get past the lady or the man at the desk, make sure you got coverage and paying your copay. Then the questions come, what hurt you? And you have to try to articulate. You have to try to communicate with what it is that's bothering you. Yeah, amen. It is called a medical practice. Amen, amen. And you know, and my wife, she loves pictures. But pictures are like memorials. Because you can look at those pictures and begin to remember the times and remember the days. And there are times when you go through some rough stuff in your family and somebody might die in your family or whatever. And these pictures sometimes bring back the joy. You cry out one eye and laugh out the other side of your mouth because you remember tradition. We focus on the family. We need to understand that we need to be able to talk to one another. You know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes one child will talk to one parent more than they talk to the other parent. I come to let you know, let them talk. Don't be mad because they ain't talking to you. You be glad they talk to you. If y'all cool, if the two of y'all cool, then later on, you know, when y'all get ready to go to bed, y'all can catch up on the day. Let them talk. Don't mess up the communication about, you always talk to your mother. Like, shut up. You messing stuff up. Because if y'all cool, you're going to find out what's going on. My daughter loves to talk to my wife. Especially if she's in college. She called me for money. And talk to me. Amen. So one day I said, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I need to know where the money tree is. And I will send you all the money. But as she gets older, she talks to the both of us. But leave the communication open. And, you know, allow your children to talk to you, even if you don't like what they're saying. Let them get it out. Because if you let the children get it out, you can see what's going on inside of them. You can see their heart. You know, even if you don't like it, don't stop them. I know it's hard. You know why it's hard? Because we see ourselves. You see your mother and father hand going right upside your head when you used to say this. And that's why a lot of times I think it's nothing new under the sun, because it's the same old stuff, just a different dress, a different pair of jeans, same old stuff, with a little different twist. But there's nothing more precious than family. Your family would take more off you than anybody else. Somebody out in the street will kill you for what you do to your family sometimes. The stuff you say to your family, And sometimes the stuff you say to your mothers and fathers, look, if it was somebody else, some parents now are trying to find out where they can get a good dental plan, so they ready to, never mind. I ain't trying to push that. But you always have to respect your parents and respect your family. And see what I like about Joshua. Joshua said, guess what? In chapter 23, he said, I'm getting old. I'm stricken in age. I'm cutting through a whole lot of this. I'm getting old. I'm stricken in age. And I need you all to know something. I got to call a meeting. So in Joshua chapter 23, he calls a meeting with the leaders. And I want you to consider Israel as this one great, big, large God's family. But then in Joshua 24, he calls a meeting with everybody. He says, family, we need to have a meeting. Because I'm about to go home to be with the Lord. And I need to remind some of you folk, especially some of the younger generation, who didn't go through what we went through in Egypt. Those that didn't go through what we went through. I need to remind you how we got what we got. I need to remind you of what it took to get to where we are. And if you want the family to remain a family, I need to let you in on some stuff. And I wish I could write it in a book, but I can't. So I need to call a meeting. And I need everybody to hear this because I need you to hear it for yourself. And you know, when he called the leaders and the elders of the tribe, what happened was they had all these different tribes and clans, but then he called everybody because everybody needed to make a decision. But you need to let the younger people know that if you living under my roof, you don't make no decisions. Oh, I wish I had a witness in there. You might make a decision about what toy you want to play with, but if you ain't paying no bills, if you ain't buying no food, and folks don't like to hear that, but you know, you need to teach your children that, you know, when they're small, so when they grow up, they begin to understand what it's all about. Show them how, what it takes. And, you know, they used to have this thing called bring your son and daughter to work. I didn't like that because when I brought my son or daughter to work, everybody was nice to me. I wanted to bring them on an off day and show them what you really got to go through to make the money that you make. Folks, your children think you don't want to give them no money. It's not that you don't want to give it to them. I would pull my money out and I pulled it off slow because I think about what I had to go through to get it. And I know in a minute when it gets to your hand, you're going to take it and you're going to go ahead. But your children need to know. You don't have to make them suffer, but explain to them. Yeah, I got you this. I brought this for you. But some blood, sweat, and tears. That's if you're not out there, if you're not a slick parent. Hey, man, you ain't slick, you know. You're really working for your money. But it's nothing wrong with letting your children know what you had to go through and what you went through to get. And let them know sometimes you're trying to save them some lumps and bumps on their head. Experience is not always the best lesson. It is a good and best lesson, but your mother and father can save you some lumps and some bumps. All you got to do is listen. Put it this way. I didn't think about this when I was younger, but why not listen to the ones that are taking care of you, that make sure you got something to eat, make sure you got clean clothes, make sure you stay, got a bed sleep, and listen to the ones you go to school with, they ain't giving you nothing. All up in your ear telling you all this dumb stuff. Oh, you got to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I go to bed whatever I want, I do. So those are the same children that want a family. They want attention. That's why they're over your house. That's why they're sleeping at your house. That's why they like your mama's cooking. That's why your mama becomes their mama. A lot of times they found out that the kids that act the worst are the kids that need the most love. They want some attention. They don't want to be beat. They don't want to be in jail. They don't want you kicking them around, slapping them around. They are crying out the only way they know. Because there's family structure being torn down, or we're not paying them any attention. We're too busy loving on Joey and loving on Susie. They're paying attention to our kids, and the whole family structure is being torn down because you're so doggone needy. Ain't nothing wrong with being needy. Just learn how to get your needs met and not let your children suffer. We all got needs. But learn how to meet the needs. Why should your children suffer? Why? If you can't get along with mama or daddy, don't talk them down. Don't get mad at your children. You look just like your daddy. You make me sick. I'm about to give me a bark badge. You look just like your mama. That ain't family talk. That's foolishness. You're destroying your child. The devil got a nut out there to destroy your child and destroy the family. The family is used to build up. And Joshua said, I need to tell y'all something. Joshua said, look here, I call a family because number one, I need to tell you what God says. And look at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua gathered the whole family together and Joshua began to say, he said, I call y'all to Shechem. He said, I want everybody to be there because I got something to tell y'all. And Joshua said to the people in verse 2, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There's only 2 points today. Number one, what God says. Number two, what you going to say. Number one, what did God say? Number two, what you going to say about what God said? And Joshua said, the Lord God of Israel told him to say, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Joshua, I'm telling you how this thing began. It didn't begin right. We began messed up. We were serving idol gods. We were idolaters. We were like worshiping idols. We were messed up before God grabbed us. Some of us were messed up, if you tell the truth, before God grabbed us. And God's still a family God. I don't care if it's 2012, 2013, God is still a family God. But you got to build your family God's way. So Joshua said, before I leave this earth, I got to let y'all know something. He said, God told me to tell you, I took your father Abraham. So don't worship Abraham because I took him. I took care of him. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. See, sometimes you got to sit your kids down and go through history. They need to know. Don't just do it during the funeral when somebody dies, but you get an obituary. Go through the history before then. Let them know how you got the house you all in. The one they write on the walls on and... I took care, I multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. In verse 4, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you. I said, I've been with you all the time. I've been there. I took your father Abraham out of a mess he was in, and then I put him over here, and then y'all went down to Egypt, and you start crying out to me, and I heard you cry, and I said, Moses, and I said, play, and I brought you out of that. Now tell me, who gonna do you like that? Joshua's addressing the family of Israel. He said, y'all need to know something. Look at verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea. He said, you remember when you got to the Red Sea and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea? And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Sometimes you got to let folks know, this is what great granddaddy did. This is what great grandmama did. This is what they did. Yes, they picked cotton, but now you wear cotton. Yeah, they picked that stuff, but now you wear and you paid all that money for it. Let folks know how stuff came about. Don't be ashamed of that. They're not going to get it in school. All they're going to get is Martin Luther King. They're going to get it all, the whole deal. See, when the Egyptians came after you, y'all cried, and I came, I rescued you. As a matter of fact, I've used darkness between you and them. If you read the text, it talks about Exodus. It was light to you and darkness to them. God, he bad God. He can send a cloud, one side dark, one side light. Y'all go ahead and cross the Red Sea. I'll put darkness to mess them up. Oh, glory be to God. See, they cried unto me. I put darkness between you. And they said, your eyes have seen what I've done to Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. 40 years, you in the wilderness, I kept you. I can't find a suit that can last 40 years. And it ain't because the suit ain't no good, because stuff, I keep on my shape keep number.
But that's why I like that new material. They got some flex stuff, some stuff to go with you. Yeah.
They got some pants to go with you, Doc. Yes, they do, man. Yes, they do. You can go out to a banquet to eat at a restaurant or something. They got some stuff to work with you. Amen. You can sit right at the table. You ain't got to shoes yourself. Sit right at the table. And the little buckles on the side.
Brothers, I let it out, didn't I? Yeah, yeah. And look at verse 8. I brought you in the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. I gave them into your hand that ye might possess the land, and I destroyed them before you.
Joshua is trying to remind folks, hey, Israel, we're here as a family, all because of how great God is and what God has done, and we have to rehearse this sometimes.
Look at verse 9. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. God trying to let somebody know that what some would do for evil, God would in fact do for good. Hallelujah. They send somebody out to mess up you and your family. God said, I got it, because you've been worshiping me, because you depended on me, because you're looking to me, because you know the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. And that's what we need to teach our children sometimes. You know, be still and know that God is God. I know it sounds corny. It sounds strange, but sometimes you've got to teach the children how to pray. Teach them how to deal with stuff. And teach them when they go to school and something ain't right, and the teachers or the authorities in the school system not listening, they let you know. Stop telling your kids to fight back for themselves and get the smart mouth and cuss at that teacher that... You are creating a recipe for madness yourself. And you sit around bragging about it. Your child sitting right there, you on the phone bragging about it. Yeah, my daughter cussed all up. My son pulled the knife. If your daughter cussed all the teachers out, then how come she ain't getting a set of false teeth? How come you ain't helping get a set of false teeth? Baby, here's a dental card. Go on down, Marcus. She can find you a dentist. See, that's where you think that stuff is cute. I really need somebody left over. Everything your child does ain't cute. You better stop it now. That stuff ain't cute. Brother Dennis, you ain't going to sell too many of these tapes. Because guess what? When they start talking against you, start turning around, getting all, you need to nip that stuff in the bud. Let them know who the boss is. Yeah, I love you, but I will tighten you up. You never know. Yeah. Love requires a little tightening up sometimes. When you can't, Proverbs says it. If you don't chastise, if you don't discipline your child, you don't love your child. You know, spare the rod. And I'm not saying beat them up and all that. All I'm simply saying is, if a child that wants to be loved is a child that needs discipline. And that's not like, you know, stern, harsh stuff, because if you bring them up right, you ain't got to do much. There's some parents in here, all you got to do is give them a look or raise your voice. Amen. Doug Jr., he's still the same way. I ain't got to hit Doug Jr. Hey, Doug. Yeah, Dad. What's up with such and such? I know, Dad. Mm-hmm. He might text the later and tell how he feel. And then they won't show me the text. They do that brother-sister thing. They got a little secret thing because he told me one day that he understood. I don't know what he told her. I don't know what he had to. Old man must have lost his mind. What mommy do to daddy? But he mad at mommy. He called getting with me. I'm sorry. I just got to be real with it. And look at verse 11. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Look at this. All these people came against them. The Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. I never wanted to move anywhere in Philadelphia where the section was called Ice. I don't know. I ain't scared to go to Winfield Heights because it got Ice. And I don't, no, no ice. That's too many yikes. But he said, I delivered them into your hand. And he said, I set the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword or with thy... Y'all ain't had to... See, we need to remember how good God been. I talk to folks sometimes, they upset with God because God hasn't blessed them with such and such. I said, but wait a minute. What has he already done? And I said, because of what he's already done is why you wait on him to do something else. He's been so good in your life, you got the nerve to ask him for some more stuff. And that's the only reason why you're asking him, because he's been so good. If he had not been good, then you wouldn't be asking him. Then in verse 13, he said, look here, I've given you a land for which you did not labor. That blew my mind. He said, you ain't worked for this land. I gave it to you. I always tell y'all about, you know, the house that you want somebody in it. Give them a thank you card. Thank you. Put it right in the door. I don't know your last name, but thank you. I like my walls off-white, eggshell white. You know, tell them how what you want in the bathroom, in the shower. I'm going to move in. Just let them know. Thank you. It ain't cost you a dime. Just drive by. Woo. They sure keeping that house. Oh, the grass cut so nice. Oh, they done put something else out. Oh, they get new windows put in today. Come on. Glory be to God. And I give you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Joshua said, I'm calling the meeting because I'm going to leave here, and you got to be obedient. You must be obedient to God. If you leave God, God going to leave you. I just let somebody know that you ready to leave God. You know, be careful, because when you leave a church, sometimes folk never file it, never go to another church, and they leave God. Don't leave God. If you leave a church, find you another church. Stay in the fellowship of the saints. This is a family. This is a God's family, the church family. Stay in the family so you can continue to be blessed and be under protection. Don't pull away from under the umbrella of God. Don't pull away from the security blanket of God. You're going to need God every step. But I don't care how good you may be having it right now. You're going to need God. And then after he tell them all the stuff that God did, he said, now it's time for you. What do you say? This is what God told me to tell you. Now, what do you say? He said, you got to make a decision. Because I know what's happening. He said, I know what's happening because as things advance, as people get older, as the parents get older, kids get older, you know, you get out there, you get different friends and new stuff starts jumping off and you come home talking all slick and different and, you know, you get a little taller now, you eye to eye with Pop, you know, Mom, you right there with them. You all up in they grill, you know. Y'all don't understand nothing. Now, I eat with y'all today. I got me some money. I'm a go get me a sandwich from so-and-so. That's what's so good about eating down, sitting down, having dinner together. You can talk about some stuff. You know, you get some, you know, you can find out what's going on. Yeah, talk with your children when they come home, you know. Deal with them. Make some time for them. You got to be able to do that because that's what keeps the family together, communication. Let them know you care. Let them know you care. Give up one of them jobs. Because while you making money, your family going to hell. While you making all the money, your children need some love and they need to see daddy and see mommy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on, I'm talking about family. We need to have a meeting. Some of us are the reason why our children are so messed up. Oh, yeah. We don't want to take no responsibility for it. We take them every place else but the church. They go and see this one. They go and see that one. Go and see that one. Then, you know, we bring them to church and we make them think it's a game in church. Uh-huh, yeah. Check it out sometimes. We bring children to church and teach them not to listen. Send them to school and tell them they better listen. That messes me up. Come to church and don't listen. Go to school and listen. How about if you listen in both places? How about if you let the church help you raise your child? We're not saying you're doing a bad job, but every little bit helps. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And don't get mad if your child goes hug somebody else in the church, they hug you. To make sure the person they hugging is all right, say, look at here, since he hugging on you, since he hugging on you, tell them. Pull it. You got to work this thing now. Be chummy with the one they humming, you know, hugging. Let me talk to you after service. All of a sudden, the one that they hugging in church, they listen to them. That's all right. It's only for a season. They ain't going to take your child. They don't want them. They might take them a weekend. They don't really want them like that. You ain't going to have to fight the cops for them. But say, can you help me? Can you help me do such and such and such and such? That stuff works out. But you got to make a decision. So Joshua finally says in verse 14, now therefore fear or reverence the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. In other words, don't just serve him for what you can get. Don't just serve God because he's God. Don't serve God like he's some great candy man you can get all this stuff from. He says, serve him with sincerity and truth and put away. That means that there's something else going on in the family. Somebody went somewhere else and got some other kind of God and brought him up in the camp there. And put away the gods which your fathers served. That's one thing about when you check your history. Everything ain't cute. Everything ain't pretty. You're going to find out that some of your ancestors worshiped some strange stuff. You know, you might find some Ouija boards, a couple of skeletons, you know, a couple of chicken heads, you know. But what Joshua is saying, I want you to stick with the one that I told you about. The one that got us over. The one that brought us through the Red Sea. The one that got us through the wilderness. The one that fought all our enemies for us. The one that gave us this land, this promised land in which we now. God said, I'm telling the church today, I don't want you to go after those strange gods. I want you to seek me. I want you to come after me because I love you. And I've got so much for you. Put away the gods which your father served the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. And that verse 15, Edifice, Eva said, if you got a problem, that's all Joshua's saying. I like what Joshua said because, you know, I didn't know Josh. But I read into it. Joshua was cool with it. He said, I'm about ready to go to heaven. But guess what? If you got a problem with serving the Lord, then you make a choice. I'm done. You ever talk to somebody, say, I talked to them, I'm blue in the face. I'm done. I let you know what the deal is. And I let you know what's right. And I let you know what's wrong. Now you are of age. As a matter of fact, as long as you're under my roof, if you can't go by house rules, then you need to pack it up. I'm looking at something. Somebody said they went back. The kid went back to get some clothes. They said, oh, no. Get the stuff you bought. I ain't buying nothing. No. That's deep, ain't it? That's so, so deep. But we all go through that when you're young. But, you know, Josh is basically saying, y'all got to choose who you're going to serve. I called the family meeting. I laid it out. And I let you know exactly what God told me to tell you. You need to make a decision today. You need to make a decision about whom you will serve. And while you contemplate making a decision, please go back and check the record of those small G-O-D-S's that your father served on the other side of the flood. My God, if there's been a flood, maybe those gods should have been flooded out. But for some reason, you held on to them. And he said, you need to determine who you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the God of the Amorites and whose land ye dwell, but it's your land. Then I like how he finished that verse 16. What do you say? 15. But as for me. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to pull away from your natural family. Look here, y'all can do what y'all want to do. But my address is 4605. And yours is whatever it is. You really ain't got to come up in here. You don't like the God I serve? That's all right. I'll put you a bottle of spring water on the steps. You ain't got to come up in there. Ah, come on now. You got to learn how to draw a line. Stop compromising what you believe. Stop compromising so you can have friends and family and all that stuff. You ain't got to compromise. You got to let folks know this is who you serve. This is how you got over. Yeah, I go to work every day, but God gave me the job. And when my money gets short, God make it stretch. People need to understand what you've been through to get the job you got. And even though you leave or come home with a smile on your face, it ain't all like that. But you remember how good God's been to you. So he said, you need to make a decision. He said, as for me in my house. Whoever's in charge of the house needs to make a decision. There's too many children in charge of the house. They know how to mess you up. They know how to run you emotionally. Oh, they get to you. They know exactly what to say. No, you ain't getting that. Oh, mommy. Oh, they make the ugliest little pitiful face. Pitiful face. Don't fall for it. Because then they think every time they do that, and one day you're going to be so mad. And you start talking about, you better stop it for your face going to stay like that. You better stop making it ugly. No, you ain't got no money that day. That's the only reason you said it. But you got to choose you this day who you're going to serve. And if your children are young, let them know who they're going to serve. I don't care what your friends say at school. I don't care what your friends say down the street for this house. No, you can't go in their house. They got some strange gods up in there. See, you got to explain to the kids. Sometimes they don't understand why you don't let them stay over somebody else's house. And it's not always strangers. Sometimes it's your family, it's your relatives. They can't, because they're doing some strange stuff up in that house. And they get mad with you because you don't want your child exposed to the strange. Well, get mad and stay mad. I don't want to have to unlearn my child when they get, oh my God. Choose you today. Who you gonna serve? Joshua says, for me and my house, we gonna serve. And you can't be ashamed of it. Let them know, no, you can't go to that party. No, you can't dress up like a witch for Halloween. Gotta let them know. You're already around there acting like a devil. Know where to draw the line. Know how to stand firm. And our children, we love our children. They can get to us, but you got to know that you are trying to train a child for the future, especially young men. Train them up. Hey, daddy, you may not be with mommy, but still be in the life of your child, please. You get mad because mama got a boyfriend. Boyfriend paying more attention to your son than you did. And you outside talking about, he ain't gonna raise my child, but you ain't. Oh, I'm so sorry, but that's so true. Take a man to raise a kid, anybody make a baby, even a test tube can make. I'm just talking family talk. This is family, family day, family talk. But if you want to preserve the family, you got to do something like Joshua did. Call a meeting before the crisis hits. Let folks know where you stand. Have a talk with your spouse. Say, look here, we got to step it up. Our children need to know who God is, and they need to see us as godly parents. They need to see us doing some godly things. We need to put God first in our lives, and we need to do stuff more than just pray on Sunday. They ought to see us praying over the food and blessing God for the food. They ought to see us praying together and reading the Word of God together. This is not a Sunday event. Being a Christian is 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. All this stuff about, I'll just come when I need them. That's not the kind of God we serve. That's not what Joshua was talking about. Joshua said, no, he's been there all along. Even when you sleep, he's been there. Joshua just trying to say to them, say, look, I'm just trying to let you know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Joshua is just trying to say he's a keeper. He's a strong tower. He's my help and my strength. He is my all in all. He keeps watch all night long. And some of the old songs, all day, all night, the angels keep watching. You remember those songs? The songs we used to sing? Those songs like, you know, I got a feeling. They're everything. And the kids sitting around listening to grandmama and them sing, how you got a feeling when the paint is falling from the ceiling? I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. And you know, mother, I might hit one of the songs, let your light shine. Shine, shine. Those are the hymns, you know. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Something within me that holded the reins. Those are the songs That's all Joshua's trying to get to know. He said, look, I may not be saying it in today's vernacular, Joshua said, but you need to know. All I'm simply trying to say is make a decision who you're going to serve. Choose ye this day. I like what Joshua said. He said, I'm not going to force you to serve him. Because God speaks for himself. But if you would do a comparative study, I guarantee you the God I serve will win out every time. He said, I just want you to know that God is yet able. The family can still be family because God is still God. Because in Genesis 3:15, God promised the family, and he promised each person that he would send a Savior. And when you get to the New Testament, Jesus Christ is born in the flesh. He's always been, but he put on a body and came down and dwelt amongst us that we might, through Jesus Christ, be saved. And see, the family needs to know you need that foundation of Christ. You need that focus, that grounding. Everybody can rally around Jesus in your family. When you get to the table, no matter what's going on, you can always come back to Jesus. You have to have that point where everybody is agreeable on before you can have that discussion. And before you have the discussion, pray, call upon the name of the Lord. Because if everybody's believing in God, it's going to be all right. You're going to work through some stuff. You can get through some sensitive stuff if everybody can be on one accord. You can say some sensitive things if everybody can be on one accord. What happens is that when the stuff gets sensitive, nobody wants to deal with it. They want to sweep it up under the rug. No, let it come on out because it needs to be dealt with. Get the tension out of your family. Get the tension out of your life. God gives us the ability for our families to be successful, to be happy, and to be blessed. And I know we got some crazy brothers and some crazy sisters and some crazy cousins and some crazy aunts and some crazy uncles, but I got a crazy God that's able to answer my prayer. You got to understand this thing. God's not asleep. He knows what you're going through. He knows if you came from a broken family. God already knows. When you come to him, he knows everything about you. You just got to say, Lord, now that I'm here, I give you free reign in my life. God, I'm hurt over here and I'm hurt over there, but I know you as a healer. I know you as a deliverer. And our children need to see some strong parents. That was you be going through stuff. That even though you might cry, you're not torn down and broke down. You do raise up. God will raise you up. They need to see that. They need to see you strong. They don't need to see you mad at everybody, talking about everybody because you don't have. Being a hater. Being envious and jealous because somebody else got blessed with something and you prayed about the same thing and you ain't get yours yet. Come up out of that mess. Because your children get the same attitude you got. Oh, I wish I had a witness to say, not something you used to do, something you do now. One brother told me, his child was saying something to one of his friends outside. I said, oh my God, he been listening to me. My. Yeah, you said that, didn't you? If it was a Sunday, you wouldn't have said it, but since it was Monday. All Josh was trying to say that God has been good. Down through the years. The Lord. He said, I don't know what else to tell you. You ever talk to somebody and they keep saying, but I don't know about God. I don't know about that thing called Jesus. I don't know about that thing called church. Down through the years, my story can't change. I'm sorry. I can't change the story. I can't change the Bible and I can't change what God's done in my life. I'm sorry. If that's not enough for you, I don't know what to tell you. But I don't have no other God. I don't have no other Jesus. I don't have no other Holy Spirit. I believe in the church. I believe in worshiping God. I know the church is not perfect, but I serve a perfect God. I know we're striving towards perfection. I don't go through all those changes. If you don't hear what I got to say, leave. I ain't got nothing else to give you. It works for me. Long time ago, I stopped trying to prove God before. It works for me. Watch me. It works for me. I got a peace that passeth all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable. Yes, I may be a doctor's appointment, but I call the main doctor also. His line is never busy. I believe him as a healer, as a deliverer.
And families need to know. Our children need to see us in worship. They need to see us loving on one another. You might not be able to, you might not like everything about me, but you ain't got to talk me down and cut me down and put your mouth on me and have your kids don't even want to speak to me now. I wish I had a witness. This thing is so real. They take on what we take on. Talk to them and teach them things. Joshua just trying to say, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Joshua just saying, my soul is anchored in the Lord. Joshua just saying, he looked beyond my faults and supplied my need. Joshua said, family, hey, we need to have a meeting. And I want to let you know that you need to make a choice today. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There may be somebody here today that needs to make a decision. Don't be ashamed. You have that thing a little twisted. Let us all stand. Choose ye this day. Family, we need to have a meeting. Choose ye this day who you going to serve. Go through the history. See, my soul looks back in wonder how I got over.